Hi, my name is Steve Carroll, and I'm the dev manager for the C++ team at Microsoft. It's CppCon time again, and so we're here with another video where we present a sort of visual table of contents of people who are giving talks at CppCon. There's so much great content that comes out every year from CppCon, with it all going up on the internet, and we wanted to give you an opportunity to get like a really quick and concise pitch for each of those talks so that you could decide which ones you want to invest more time in and learn more about. To get started with, we're going to do an interview with John Cao. All right, John, do you want to introduce yourself?
I'm John Cao. I am the chair of CppCon, and I'm happy to be here to talk about it, Steve.
Okay, cool. So what edition of CppCon are we in currently?
This is the fifth year in a row. So we started in 2014, and this is number five.
And so I guess we're going to be continuing to grow?
Yes, growth every year. And in fact, we have outgrown this venue. And so I haven't announced it yet, but to tell you guys, we will announce on Friday that we are moving to the Gaylord Rockies in, just outside of Denver. It's in Aurora, Colorado. It is a hotel that hasn't even opened yet. It'll open in December, so it should be well underway by next September when we're there.
they can pre-flight all of it so that it gets ready for C++ That's developers, because we're pretty rough on places.
That's right. it's large enough to hold us now, but also hold us as we grow. It's a larger venue. And I will say, I've loved the Maiden Bower. I've loved the people here. It's been great. And I keep teasing them, you know, if you guys would make the building bigger, we'd still be here.
Yeah, they've been doing this construction, which the people may be able to see in the background here for a while there. It could just add on another thing. But okay, Denver sounds nice to me. So what are you excited about this year at CppCon?
You know, we have just a whole program. We have again doubled the number of people in doing posters. The posters, I've gotten lots of good comments on the posters.
They're good this year.
Well, I would like to think they were good last year, but they're particularly good this year. I mean, they're really, people are excited about that. I think there's a very good feeling. People are excited, upbeat. That's what we like to see. Got great comments about Bjarne's talk yesterday. People were excited about Mark's talk this morning about Houdini software that he won an Academy Award for. We're really happy to have him here. That's really cool. We had a great weekend, you know, the pre-conference classes. Lots of great comments from
that. I heard
that.
A lot of good things about the speaking
workshop.
We did a special
workshop. Normally the pre-conference classes are 2 days. This year we had a one-day class by Andre Alexandrescu, Kate Gregory, and Scott Myers, some of the very, you know, best speakers in our industry, who did a one-day workshop on how to do technical presentation. They didn't talk about C++. Well, they talked a lot about C++, but it was mostly the attendees. They did little five-minute talks, and they got some feedback from that. And they actually had some guest speakers. They had Bjarne, Herb Sutter, and, oh no, I've embarrassed myself. There was one other speaker that came in as a guest speaker. I didn't even know they were going to do that. Somebody said, yeah, I heard Bjarne's lightning talk, and it was really cool. I was like, what? What was this? I said, yeah, he was a guest speaker at the workshop. Oh, I didn't know that. So, and so I've gotten great feedback. In fact, I will tell you, I don't have permission to, so I'm not going to say his name, but one of the individuals sent an email back to the presenters and said, I did my talk. And he actually listed, he said, I did this, I did this, I did this. And he had like five things. No, it was more like eight things. And I got to talk to him. I said, I saw your email that you sent. And he said, made all the difference.
That's
just
awesome.
Much more confident and calm and presented so much better. And
I think if you generalize out from that, though, it's this idea of course, it's amazing that all of these talks are going to go up and you can use, you know, this little digest that we're putting together to understand, you know, which talks you may have. If you're here and you missed one, you can go watch it there.
Yeah.
I know I do that every year because I'm always sitting in this room doing this thing instead
of
watching talks.
Yeah. I don't get to see very many.
Yeah, I can imagine, right? But also, of course, you give that opportunity to people there. But there really is a lot going on in meat space that I think it's really critical that people understand.
I think it's absolutely, yes, almost all the content. We don't do the classes. There's a few things that don't get recorded, but almost all of it's recorded. The best stuff is all recorded. It's all up free, and yet it doesn't cause people to not come. You'd think, well, why would I want to go? No, the things that happen here that you're not capturing on the camera, and part of it is capturing the camera, but it's you getting to ask the question. because why didn't somebody ask this when you watch the video? And no, you're there, you ask that question, and you get the right. You get the response. That is worth a bunch. And then, as you say, what's going on in MeetSpace? Yeah. It's exciting to be here. It's exciting to meet the people who are on the committee and get a chance to talk to them, because sometimes you're frustrated. It's like, why is it taking so long to get modules done, right?
Yeah, I saw the pictures from Grill the Expert, Grill the Committee last night. Yeah. You could tell there was some some passion in the room. It's what we're looking for, I guess.
That's right. That's right. Well, and it sounds so simple. Why can't you just give us this feature? Well, you talk to somebody in the committee and you say, well, it does sound simple, doesn't it? But here's this and here's this and here's this. And you know, when in MeetSpace, they can be a little more casual and maybe more direct about what, you know, less political. And so,
right. And I think just it's very obvious just looking around, and I guess maybe you'll catch this at the B-roll that we've been taking to edit in between these things. Is like, you know, you get a lot of people who are super early career. You get, you know, people more like mid or later career. And you know, all of them coming together, just, you know, like there's a lot of learning for every different level.
Right. Right. And I'm really excited to see, as you say, early in career, see those people here. We have traditionally been, and I think even still are this year, heavier on, you know, mid-level experts, that sort of thing. But we've always tried to be as inviting as possible, so that, you know, it's absolutely true that there are going to be sessions here that are going to be over the head of
beginner C++ programmers, but they're clearly labeled.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think that there's something here for everyone.
Right. And I really want to call it, like, I was really, like, I just came to do this talk to you from a panel that I just did about.
That's right.
Yeah,
with
interviewing at work as part of the student
program. I should turn
program.
This around on you and ask you how that went.
Yeah, it went great. I love
Well, so I cut you off. Explain
people.
What it was.
So it was like a panel for, like, as a person who looks at resumes all day,
right,
you know,
right.
for in my day job as a hiring manager, you know, what am I looking for? And so we just went through a bunch of resumes, gave some advice, you know, tried to scope it to be like, you know, like this is just one guy's opinion or whatever.
And,
you know, it was me, a guy from Oculus. So there's a bunch of good, I think there is a lot of good networking to be done here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to say something about the student program, because it always seems like we're not doing much for students, because some years the student program has really amounted to the pizza dinner. We always do that. We take them to dinner. Okay, guys, here's pizza. And then, you know, we may have a resume panel, or we may have an interviewing panel, or we may have something like that, because there aren't very many exhibitors here, but there are a few, and they may be professional recruiters here, and so we want to leverage that and give that to the students. But the real reason we don't have a student program is we want the students in the same sessions with everybody else. We feel like that's the best thing, you know. You go to college, you're in that class. When you come here, you see what real engineers are faced with in the real world, and how they, you know, how they analyze problems and those kinds of things. So we want the students to be in the regular sessions. And so when we have a student session like yours, everyone is invited.
Yeah.
It's just that
there were industry people in there.
Yeah, certainly. But we have students in mind when we design the session.
Yeah.
That's what we mean by
the
student program. And so this year, I think there's, other than the student dinner, there's only like two or three things that are for students. But that's because we want them in the rest of the sessions. And that's just the way we think we can help them best.
Great. Anything else you want to share with the folks before we break?
Oh, there are so many things going on this year. We have, I think, more open content sessions than we've ever had. And for those in your audience, they won't see the open content sessions on YouTube.
But if they want to feel jealous, they can look at the schedule and see what they were.
That's right. We're just a ton of open content. And open content it's not things that have been formally submitted through the program committee, which is part of the reason why we don't record it, because what it is, it's someone who, sometimes it's things that were submitted to the program committee and they weren't accepted, but the person is just dying to give this.
Yeah.
I say, I really want to talk about this.
So you find them a
Come,
spot?
And we find, well, the timing is, there's a session right before the, you know, it's the super early session. It's
8
o'clock in the morning, or over lunch, which is when your panel was, or in the evening. And in fact, anyone who's in the area can attend any of those sessions.
Oh, that's great.
They're absolutely free. And in fact, the Friday sessions, we've just always traditionally said, if you are in the area, come and see us on Friday. It's open to anyone who wants to attend. But you know, we're here, we have the venue, we have the microphones, we have the AV. If you'd like to give a presentation, we'd love to have you. We don't give you the best time slot. We don't guarantee an audience, but we'll let you talk. And this year, there is a security panel that I got so excited about. I think it is going to be recorded, even though it was an open content
open talk. Content,
and there's but the number of open content talks is really And of course, even though it sounds like they won't be as good, they're almost always really good.
So. Right. So to close on this, for what time should, what calendar reminder should people be setting to prep themselves for CPPCon 2019 now that we've done this? When do you think you should be remembering to send in your applications?
For speakers.
For next year, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Generally speaking, the deadline for speakers is about the time of C++ Now. Okay. So that's May.
May.
So probably if you've got it by April, you're going to make the deadline. Yeah.
Set your calendar reminders now.
Yeah.
Right, John, thanks a lot for coming by.
Okay, thank you very much.
Great. Okay, so next we've got Guy. Guy, could you introduce yourself?
Hello, everyone. My name is Guy Davidson. I'm the Principal Coding Manager at Creative Assembly, makers of Total War.
Sweet. So what is your sort of topic for this year's CPPCon? What's your talk title?
My talk title is Lightweight Graphics with IO2D. Now.
Sweet. Okay, so I think I might be able to tell from the name of the paper, but who should be interested? Who is the ideal audience for your talk?
People who want to draw things.
Tool things.
Draw.
Draw things.
Yes, drawing is particularly the problem that we have in the standard is that there's no way of drawing things. And I have a library proposal that will enable people to draw things as standard, cross-platform. It's lovely. And it's very simple, it's very lightweight, and that's really the key.
So is it available today for people to use? Like, will the audience of the talk be able to then actually go and use it? Or is it more of a proposal for people to get a comment on?
There is a reference implementation. They can go and download it. They can draw things. Indeed, most of the talk is some of the samples that you can make with the reference implementation.
Okay, so without giving us like deep spoilers, like what do you think is the best pitch for this talk? Like why should people watch this talk with their YouTube time, so to speak?
Because they want an easy way to draw stuff without having to go to third-party libraries or learn OpenGL or learn DirectX or download stuff. The idea is that, you know, once you've got this library in hand, it's really simple to just throw telemetry together. You know, if you're running some code and you want to say, does this sort algorithm really work as fast as I think it does? I'll draw a picture. And this is an easy way of drawing a picture.
I see. Cool. All right. So any key takeaways for people with that talk? Is it like go off and build something afterwards? Is that what you're hoping?
Yep, go off, build samples. You know, tell me what's wrong with the library. Tell me how to improve it. Go and write games. Go and do demo scene stuff. Go and do, you know, show off with it. That's probably the best thing I want people to do.
All right. So if you're looking for a way to go show off, which is always welcome, you definitely want to check out Guy's talk on drawing 2D stuff.
Excellent. Thanks very much.
Awesome. Billy, introduce yourself to the camera.
Hi there. I'm Billy O'Neill. I work on the standard library team at Microsoft.
Great. Okay, so this is your first time speaking at CPPCon.
Yes.
Okay, what's your talk's title?
My talk is Inside Visual C++ Parallel Algorithms.
Which is the thing that you actually developed for our libraries.
Yes, with helpers.
With helpers. So who is the ideal audience for this talk? Who should watch it?
So if you use parallel algorithms, or if you might want to use parallel algorithms and want to know why they do what they do, or maybe if you want to write your own parallel algorithms, if you want to do them the same way we have.
Great, so parallel algorithm users and these library developers. But what are they gonna take, like what's the major, what are you gonna learn from your presentation?
So when you use something like Vector, people know what Vector is, and they know, they have some mental model of what the performance characteristics they will have. When they say par, it parallelizes somehow, magic. And the point is to get rid of the magic so you have some idea of what performance characteristics you can expect.
Okay, great. So if you're going to go be a user of these new parallel algorithms, which are available in C++?
They are added in C++ 17, and we started shipping them in, I think it was 15.6, and then we added more in 15.7.
So if you want to go take advantage of these, you can go to this talk, and you're going to learn all about the performance characteristics of how to expect what performance to expect out of your code for the various things.
Absolutely.
Great, thanks, Billy.
Thanks.
Okay, Fabian, can you introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Fabian Rand-Giles. I'm a C++ consultant. I mostly do work on real-time audio in C++, but for this talk here, I'm venturing out into unknown territory for me.
Okay, and so what is the name of your unknown territory talk?
It's a semi-runtime compile time map with nearly zero overhead lookup.
Okay,
long title.
It is, but it's very specific, yes. Which is great. So, as specific as it was, who's the ideal audience for your company?
I think it's intermediate advanced developers who liked Jason and Ben's context for all the things talk, which I think went down a year ago here.
Which you can look up because all the old CppCon talks are. So is it a prerequisite though?
No, definitely not. No. Okay. But it's going to use a lot of modern C++, definitely a lot of constexpr. We're going to talk a bit about maps, and we're going to talk about a really obscure function of C++ called stdlaunder.
Okay, so let's give them like a quick elevator pitch for the talk. So I think you're saying it's sort of like a data structure talk. You're going to talk about a data structure that you've sort of developed?
Right, so it's going to be about an associative map, and particularly when it's used as a cache. Okay. And in this talk, we've seen maps that were compile time only, right? So that's Jason and Ben's talks. And we've seen maps that are runtime only, just normal STL maps. But this map is sort of half-half. And it's used when you know your keys as compile time literals in advance, but you still want to modify the values at runtime, right? And I think that's a very, very common use case, actually. And both of these compile time only maps and these runtime maps, they don't really solve that problem. So I'm going to try to solve this problem. This map has a foot in both worlds.
So it's sort of like if you have a use case that kind of matches what your data structure
key thing is,
then absolutely you're like right in the sweet spot.
Absolutely.
But also it's interesting if you're the kind of person who's trying to develop cool constexpr-based data structures for your own work. You can learn sort of an application talk.
Exactly, that's it.
All right, okay. Thank you very much, Fabian.
Thank you.
Great. Can you guys introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Matthias Gera. I work at Silexica, and we do C++ development tooling, combining source code analysis with profiling and instrumenting.
Cool. Hello, I'm Gabor Horvat, and I'm an intern at Microsoft.
Sweet, all right, so you guys are co-presenting a talk. What's the title of that talk?
The title is Implementing the C++ Core Guidelines Lifetime Safety Profile in Clang.
Okay, cool. So this is sort of based on the lifetime rules that Herb has been talking about in the CppCon from last year and this year. Is that right?
Exactly. It's an implementation of the paper that he wrote. There's another implementation in MSVC, but we will talk about the Clang implementation that we both did together.
Okay, great. So who's the ideal audience for this talk?
So the audience of the talk is people that have lifetime problems, experience in their code, and want to know how to use a checker to find those kind of problems, but also people that are interested in static analysis because we will touch a bit on how this paper and the checker works.
Yeah, and I would say that in general, I find like static analysis tools like really fascinating. And so if you're like ever had some interest in figuring out how those things work, this might be a good way to kind of get that intro in this. Okay, so in the talk, you're going to talk about how to use the tools as well. Is that the primary thing that people will take away from it?
We will show demos, a lot of demos on Compiler Explorer mainly, on how the checker works, what kind of results it gives. You have to know that it's still an alpha version, but it's a good introduction to where this can go.
And do you expect people to have already sort of learned about the lifetimes proposal that Herb has, or is that something you're going to cover as a prerequisite in your talk?
We will cover that as well. So in order to use this tool, one would need some kind of training to familiarize themselves with the rules, and this will be included in the talk.
Okay, great. So it's self-contained. So if you're interested in lifetimes, you guys check out these dudes' talks, right?
Exactly.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, so you have a solo talk as well. What's the name of that talk?
Right. So the title is Dealing with Aliasing Using Contracts. And this talk is mainly for GoBolters, people who tend to look at the assembly output from the compiler and reason about the performance of the code.
More advanced talk, looking at sort of low-level details. And so tell us a little bit about what we'll learn from your talk.
Mm-hmm. So basically, C has this restrict keyword that we can use to give hints to the compiler what pointers may or may not alias. And this is very useful for the compiler to reason about the code. So this can help the compiler to do optimizations.
Yes.
And we do not have the equivalent functionality in C++, even though we have it in other languages like Fortran.
Okay.
So this is kind of a unsolved problem for a long time, which prevents to achieve really great performance in some scenario. And almost all the compilers have some workarounds, non-standard solutions how to do this. So I propose a method to bring this feature into the language.
Specifically a restrict keyword?
Well, restrict keyword is like a precondition. And since we are going to introduce...
In the contract sense?
Yes. And since we are going to introduce contracts into the language, I would like to propose something that is more general than restrict and builds upon the contract TS, basically.
Right. Sounds really interesting. Thanks, Tabor. Patrice, can you introduce yourself and tell us where you're from?
Of course. My name is Patrice Roy. I'm from Université de Sherbrooke, close to Montreal. Yeah.
Cool. And what is the title of your talk this year?
I'm giving a talk named Pessimistic Programming. And it's meant...
Is it a reflection of your personality type? Is it?
Well, I was looking for something catchy. I think it worked. But the idea is I work with real-time systems people.
Okay.
And this talk is aimed for people who are worried about the worst case.
Okay.
So how do you write programs where your program, yes, does behave properly in general, but where is the rare case, the annoying case? Which is the one you want to optimize for.
So then, if I were to think about the audience for this, it sounds like definitely the people kind of doing real-time sort of applications.
Yeah, self-driving cars.
Like the sweet spot for this.
Yeah.
But it's like, if it's really actually anyone who isn't only interested in the average case, is that the way to think about it?
Yeah, probably. The compiler optimizes well your stuff, but sometimes the compiler doesn't know what you know. And for those rare cases where you want control, and C++ is all about control,
yes,
this is cool.
So this is, and C++ is the sort of best language for doing this. Do you want to tell us a little bit about like the content of the talk?
Well, yeah, I gave this talk once in Montreal to like try it out, and people were surprised. I think it's not something people think about lots.
Yeah, I was very intrigued by the abstract.
You're very sweet.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it. So when you are not aiming for the best average case, or for the overall fastest speed, but for speed when it counts. You're driving a car, you don't brake often, but when you brake, you want to brake right away.
Yeah.
For that sort of stuff.
You can pause Spotify for a minute and just focus on the brakes.
Well, that's kind of the point, yeah. For this sort of programming, there are techniques, because sometimes the compiler doesn't optimize the way you want it to, because it's optimizing for the normal case, which is a better throughput or something like that. So a number of techniques and ways to think about your program there, touching on a number of topics, like subdividing your code into smaller steps that you will execute in controlled ways.
So it'll even have sort of a how to structure your code better for these sorts of
scenarios. Lots of examples, yeah. And from the experience I could gather, people seem to be surprised sometimes that you can do something. So
and I guess you'll also be learning a lot about what's going on underneath the covers of your code and the surprising interactions of it. Is that a good way of looking at it?
Yeah, I'm not looking that much at assembly code in this one, though. It's mostly C++ stuff, but very technical, though. You have to be there for technical stuff.
Okay, and I think you also did something else here this week already.
Yeah,
do you want to talk a little bit about like why you should come to CPPCon next year? I mean, it's great that people
should.
Can watch the videos, right? Because you can come see Patrice's
And you can come for the classes. So we have great classes. There were, I think, 8 pre-conference classes. We had lots of people this year in school, and you should also come next year. It's the third time I give a class, and this time I tried something interesting, which is, it was called Thinking Small. So you see, pessimistic, thinking small, this can be. But I think people liked it. So how do you control the size of the things in your program to make sure that they fit into
code
smaller
size.
Devices, into cache, that you can control where things go, that you can play with alignment and placement new, and those little things that make a difference. And then you measure the results and say, oh, I see. It was an interesting two-day class, 15 hours. I think people liked it. So, but all the classes we have are very cool. Seriously, we have a number of tremendous classes this year, and it keeps on growing. So I recommend those interested to try them out.
It's a great sort of continuing education.
Mine or others, yeah.
Cool. Okay, great. Thanks, Patrice, for coming by.
Pleasure.
Okay, Anastasia, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, so my name is Anastasia. I work for the company named JetBrains as a product marketing manager, and so we do tools for developers.
Okay, cool. So what is your talk topic this year?
This year I'm talking about debugging C++ without running.
Okay, good. Debugging is close to my heart. I also have a background in tools. So tell me a little bit about the audience for this talk.
I guess the ideal audience is every C++ developer who uses the modern C++ standards and would like to unveil the language abstractions and to understand the meaning of the code behind these abstractions.
So, like, are you thinking like 11 and up, or when you say modern?
I mean, understanding the code and what's actually happening behind it before you even actually compile or run the code or debug it or even, you know, run a preprocessor step.
Got it. So, I mean, leave some mystery for the talk itself. But can you give us sort of the pitch? Like, what are you going to learn if you attend or watch
You actually
talk?
Learn a lot because I would like to say that it's not a product demo, so I will be for sure showing some of the tools we do at JetBrains. But the idea is to give a notion about how the whole ecosystem works and what do we have in the current ecosystem. So I will be demoing C-Line, ReSharper, C++, Visual Studio, Eclipse, Civalop, and many more.
So like what parts of the tools are you going to show?
So I will be showing some things like how to understand what is behind the macro or what is the type alias in the end, so what is behind it, or what's the actual type of your variable which is covered with this outer and decal type,
and
you never got the actual type behind it, but the tools can do that for you actually.
So is it fair to say it's like the your developer tools can kind of give you the superpower of seeing
exactly,
through all of these
exactly,
things the compilers
exactly,
are doing for
exactly.
You.
And I would like to share the information how all the tools we have in the ecosystem can actually do that. So you can be sure that after that talk, you learn some new things about your tool and maybe new features that can help you, your
Great.
Tool.
So you walk out of this talk, you're a more productive developer, and you've learned a lot more about sort of the way that your tools can reveal.
Yeah, exactly. That's the idea behind.
Great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, Simon, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, so my name's Simon Brand, and I recently started at Microsoft as a C++ developer advocate.
Okay, so and when did you start?
Literally this week.
Okay.
I started on Tuesday and then flew out on Friday, so I've had 3 days in the office so far.
Got it. So actually, this week is my 15-year anniversary at Microsoft.
Oh, okay,
so it's a little different. But welcome aboard.
Yeah.
You are a madman. You have 4 talks
at
CPPCon today. Yeah. Tell me where you went wrong in life. No, it's so we're going to go through all of them.
Yeah.
So I guess let's get started. So let's talk about your first talk. What's your first talk?
My first talk is at 2 p.m. today, and it's on how C++ debuggers work. So if you have always wondered how the tools that you use actually get things done, then you should come to my talk and learn about them.
Great. Okay, so the audience is people like wanting to understand how it works under the covers, or maybe somebody wants to get into the business or something like writing
debuggers.
Yeah, so
it should give you the necessary background to like dive into a code base or just kind of reason about what your debugger is doing. So it should be quite open to beginners or just anyone who's used debuggers and never understood them.
Great. Okay. And so that one, the audience is noobs, and the takeaway will be how it works. What's your second talk?
My second talk is how to write well-behaved value wrappers in C++. So this is a talk more aimed at generic library developers or people who are interested in generic library development but don't necessarily have the knowledge of kind of ridiculous tricks that you have to do to get things to behave nicely and be unsurprising and performant. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, come to my talk.
So let me see if I can spit that back at you. Like, so basically, like if you want to become more like if you're sort of an application developer trying to make that sort of leap to like know all the cool template meta programming techniques or more modern things in order to sort of make that jump into, this is a great place to get started.
Yeah, definitely.
Great. It makes perfect sense. Third talk.
Third talk is a joint talk with Phil Nash from JetBrains.
Okay.
So we're going to be talking about a broad survey of different error handling techniques in C++.
Okay, so this is like a hot topic in the community
definitely.
Now. So you're going to go broad?
Yeah, so the title is What Could Possibly Go Wrong? The subtitle is completely forgotten. The subtitle is...
That's fine. You can search for the first part.
Yes, you can search for the first part.
And Simon Brand is easy to spell.
Yes, indeed. So it's going to be starting off error codes and dynamic exceptions, which is what we have at the moment, and then looking at functional languages like Haskell.
So you're going very broad.
Yeah. And looking at how they deal with error handling and seeing how we can apply that to C++. and then seeing if we can take these more kind of library-based solutions and extend the language to support them a lot better.
So is this for people who are interested in like deciding how going forwards they should, which of these strategies they should use, more towards like people are fascinated by language design?
I think this talk has a very, very broad audience. Anyone who is thinking about like what error handling techniques should I use? What are the benefits and downsides of different techniques? Where is the language going for error handling in general? So people like that can come to this talk. People who are actually specifying this stuff can get some of our opinions, which may or may not be good.
But it's opinionated.
Yes.
Okay.
So we
in the good way.
And Phil and I mostly match up on all of our opinions. So,
okay. So that's not a cage match kind of situation.
Yeah.
But if you're not interested in handling errors in your code, then you probably should stop coding.
Yes.
Stop. Okay. All right. So that's 1, 2, 3. What's the fourth talk?
The fourth talk is only a half-hour talk. So I went easy on myself for that one.
So 3.5? I don't want to give you the full 4. All right.
But it's entitled Overloading, the Bane of All Higher Order Functions. So it's all about how there's a huge hole in C++ as a language where function overloading and function templates just totally break higher order functions. So passing these around to algorithms or anything which expecting just something you can call. There's just no good solutions to this right now.
So this is for people like horror movies, and what's the audience for this one?
This is people who are interested in like weird edge cases, and also people who, I think a lot of people have hit these problems, but never really thought about what the solutions could be. So I'm gonna talk about the problem, start with some solutions, which are kind of things we can do today to alleviate some of the problems, but they're not that great. And then looking forward to what might be coming in the standard for actually fixing this properly.
Great. All right, Simon, it's quite the portfolio you're bringing to us this time. And it's almost like this whole thing is intended to be sort of a table of contents to CppCon content for people kind of overwhelmed by all the talks. And it's great that we have a table of contents for just you inside of our table of contents. So our nested table of contents is done. Thank you very much for your dive.
Yeah, Saturday. Thanks very much.
Awesome. Okay, Kostya, can you introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Kostya Serebryny, and I work at Google in the Sunnyvale office in California. My team has been developing various dynamic testing tools, mostly for C++, during the last decade. We have presented some of these tools on the previous CppCons.
And so I think for the folks at home who would know you, they know you're sort of like the sanitizer-y guy, right?
Yeah, the other name for our tools are the sanitizers, address sanitizer, thread sanitizer, and so on.
Great, they're amazing tools. So what are you talking about this year, though?
This year, we're talking about address sanitizer on steroids. It actually has a different name. The concept is called memory tagging, and we are talking specifically about the hardware implementations of memory tagging.
Okay, so who's like the ideal audience? Like, who do you think should consider watching your talk once they're all posted?
Anyone who ever debugged a problem in C++ caused by memory safety bug, a buffer overflow, a use of the free, a use of uninitialized memory. If they didn't like this experience, or they've heard other people who didn't like this experience, they may want to hear my talk.
So if you've never had any problems that were hard to debug, don't watch the talk.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you're probably good to go. All right, tell me a little bit more about the content. Like, what are you going to go over this? Is it about the design of the system? Is it how to use the system?
I will talk about three major things. First is the concept of memory tagging, how it works, and why it works, and why it detects the bugs. Second, I will describe three existing implementations. And existing is maybe a little bit strong statement, but you can try some of those systems today. You can read about those some of other systems today.
Okay.
And third part of the talk is how actually it affects not just the testing and stability story for the C++, but also how it affects the security story for the C++ applications.
Got it. Cool. Anything else you want people, like, what is there going to be a key takeaway from it? Is it like you're going to ask people to go off and use the tool at the end of it?
The key takeaway is, unfortunately, that we have to do more work. And I have a homework assignment.
You and your team, or the audience, or we the C++ community?
We as the industry, including the C++ community, have to do the homework to make C++ more memory safe and more software engineer friendly. And I will have a homework assignment for the audience.
Okay, cool. All right, Kostya, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, Marian, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Marian Luparo. I'm a program manager lead in the Visual C++ team at Microsoft.
Okay, can you tell them about the name of our talk?
The name of our talk will be the latest and greatest in the Visual Studio family for C++ developers.
Okay, so like, who's the ideal audience for this talk?
So, very good question. Some people may assume that it's Windows developers. But it's really for any C++ developer out there, anyone doing a cross-platform development, anyone caring about targeting Linux or Windows or any other platform out there.
Okay, so like, what are we going to cover in our talk, our lightning?
So something that we'll definitely cover is what a lot of people care about is conformance, our progress on making a conformant compiler and a toolset.
Got some cool announcements there.
Yep. We have some more news going beyond what we announced earlier this year. But even more interestingly, we're going to show a lot of the cross-platform supports that we have in Visual Studio. And we have a Word demoer, a Word class demoer there. It's him. And so basically, you're going to show targeting Linux, targeting Windows from the same code base. And we're going to try to let people know how simple that is.
I think there are going to be a lot of different tips and tricks that you can kind of apply in the even just the latest versions. We're going to show lots of new features. I think we're going to have stuff that you can immediately go and use in your day-to-day thing. And then at the end, we'll even have a little section where we show sort of more future direction-y stuff.
We can't talk about
but
it
But I
now.
Can't say what no. it is. You'll have to just watch the talk.
Absolutely. So watch the talk.
All right. So I'm excited. Are you excited?
Oh, I look forward to giving the talk.
All right, good. So go watch our talk, please. All right. Okay, why don't you introduce yourself?
My name is Matthew Butler. I work in information security, and my background has been in both military and law enforcement, working in those capacities, as well as network security and issues along those lines.
Cool, so what are you speaking on this year at CBBCon?
So I did two talks.
Okay.
Both of them are on information security, so they're secure coding best practices. The first talk is really a talk about how we got to where we are, what the environment is like, what the kinds of things hackers will go after as far as your code.
Okay.
At the end of the first talk, I will do an exploit. So we'll actually do it live. I'll explain exactly how it works, and then we'll go exploit a Linux VM so that people can see how this works.
Okay.
The second talk is the good news. What can we do about it? It's about testing, threat modeling, the kinds of things we can do as engineers to make our code safer. At the end of that talk, I'll do a completely different exploit, and we'll do that live as well. And this is one that actually, if you have an unpatched Linux kernel, you'd be vulnerable to it today.
Okay, wow. So this is like one of those things where, you know, if you're like the bad news first kind of guy, you want the bad news one, and then you're the good news first kind of person you want.
Well, we have to sort of set the stage, and it becomes the talk that once a company has been breached, it's a very easy talk to have with the CEO because the bad guys have already done all the heavy lifting for me.
But do you want people to watch one of them first? Is there a prereqs between them, or are they independent?
I would watch them in order simply because of some of what's in the second talk is dependent on the first talk.
And so what's the title of the first one?
They're both called Secure Coding Best Practices. There's just a part one
part
and a
one, part
two.
So I think they'll figure that one out.
It's a 2-hour talk.
Great. So I think you kind of already answered this, but the ideal audience for these is devs who want to get deeper on how to write more secure code, or also who else?
It is for, and it's for any range of engineers, but it's for engineers who want to begin to understand the patterns of how hackers will hack their code. We have a tendency to look at our code in terms of, well, how can I build this great thing? How can I make it perform well?
Right.
How can it be more clear? But what we don't look at it, the ultimate edge case for how your code behaves is how easy it is for me to hack into your code. So if you want to know how hackers view your code, the kinds of techniques they use to go after you, the kinds of vulnerabilities we put into our code, then the first talk is a talk you'll want to watch. The second talk is, how can we use things like fuzz testing?
I see.
How can we use threat modeling? How can we use static analysis, dynamic analysis, and all of the different tool sets to be able to look at our code and test it and get these kinds of vulnerabilities out before they go into the wild.
Great. And are there going to be any sort of like, so takeaways will be, and then go take those forward and apply them in your coding, and regardless of what job you do, as long as you're security conscious.
Exactly. One of the things we will talk a lot about is this concept of zero trust boundaries. We've always had the idea that everything outside perimeter security is risky and everything inside is safe. But what we're coming to the point of is that perimeter security is not going to protect you. So even if you're just writing systems that are inside the firewall,
yep,
you really are operating in a zero trust environment.
Got
so
it.
We'll talk a lot about the current environment and how you can defend your systems against the types of attacks that go on every day.
Great. Sounds like great content. Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you.